Waltz about a year ago at the Corona Theater. Some stories that have never been told before and some terrific music. Check it out. And a reminder to check out whatever you may miss right here on this show and other shows throughout the broadcast day, available on the podcast section at tsn690.ca. We have the Bengals hosting the Steelers at 8 o'clock. That comes 1 hour after Sideline to Sideline with Kai Hebert, back in with Joey Alfieri coming up after this show. Sports Business News with Lauren Rubin. But right now,
Michael Farber on Melnick in the Afternoon, brought to you by Poker Palace, just 15 minutes from downtown Montreal, poker-palace.ca.
And I'm told that today Michael is out in beautiful Kelowna, British Columbia. How you doing?
You know what? It is beautiful. The downtown part of it, anyway, it's gorgeous. It's a little bit of Aspen-y, Aspen, Colorado. It's, you know, not quite a ski town. But there are hills around here, and you know, everybody's trying to sell you some Okanagan Valley wine. And very pleasant. Very pleasant.
Well, you know who's been out there since she left Montreal? Is Kathy Newton. You remember Kathy?
Of course I remember Kathy. You know who else is out here? Cam Cole. He retired when he left the Vancouver Sun, and people would read him in the Montreal Gazette. What a strong columnist he was. For years, probably pound for pound, the best columnist in the country. He retired, he moved from Vancouver, and he's in Kelowna, too.
I've never heard that terminology used for a sports writer before. Pound for
pound. Well, I could see him pound it.
Hickey's pretty good at that, too, isn't Hickey?
Yeah.
And the late great Ian McDonald used to be pretty good, too. He used to have a double barrel action going. Whichever hand was not pounding, the other finger was in the mouth.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, no, Cam was a terrific writer, and I enjoyed some nice nights with him.
He could be in there. So at the end of the last few gates, sets it down a bit, but doesn't scrub too much speed.
Well, he's not holding back.
Left to go.
Oh, yeah. Man, Ross Rebliati of Whistler, British Columbia, takes over the lead. He's nice. In first place to this point.
Nice one, Ross.
Ross Rebliati, Canada.
Olympic champion, gold medalist, Ross Rebliati, Canada.
High on the hills of the Winter Olympics.
Yeah.
Is that why you're out there?
It is. I'm going to have dinner with him later, and we're going to interview him for a TSN feature that will air at some future date. The greatest thing that ever happened to him was testing positive for marijuana, losing a medal very temporarily when the IOC, much to its chagrin, realized it didn't have any rules against marijuana. But that's what he's known for. I mean, how many other Canadian Olympians fall by the wayside? But not Ross. And the explanation was just classic. Secondhand smoke. Whistler has marijuana four times more powerful than any other place in Canada. And there was a press conference that was shown live back to Canada. I wasn't aware of it. I was working for Sports Illustrated and asked Carol Ann Lethrin, then the president of the Canadian Olympic Association, after she gave a detailed report of what Ross had said. And my question was, Carol Ann, what parts of that story did you find remotely credible?
What did she say?
She kind of sputtered at me. But, you know, the lines are flying thick and fast. Mine was, some sports separate the men from the boys. Other sports, you separate the seeds and the stems.
All right, so I'll look forward to that. We all should be looking forward to that. Ross Rebliati, Michael Farber essay.
Before the Olympics, I think, will air.
So on Saturday, late Saturday afternoon on TSN 690, on the Irish Embassy pregame show, which on Saturdays is co-hosted by Jay Farrar and Simon Salikas.
December 2nd, 1995.
A day that will...
The Canadians lost to the Detroit Red Wings. 11-1. Payback is a you-know-what. Habs, 11. Red Wings, 1.
10-1 Habs. They've won 5 in a row. And they beat the Red Wings soundly tonight here at home.
How about that, Michael?
Well, it's a fairly long story, so bear with me. Oh. I was not at the forum that night. I was in Denver, and I probably doing an Eric Lindros story the Flyers were out there. Maybe it was an Avalanche story. I can't remember. And I'll always remember December 2nd because it's my wife's birthday. Anyway, I see what goes on in Montreal. I come back on the Sunday. And this is the reason we have glass now at the Bell Center. There was no glass. Clearly, the goalie could talk to the president, and things spiraled out of hand without Serge Savard there to calm it down. So that happens on the 2nd. On December 6th, Patrick Waugh is traded. So I get on a plane with Waugh for Sports Illustrated and Mike Keane, and we fly in this airplane from Dorval, the private part, out to Colorado, and then we take a taxi into town. And the driver, very friendly people in Denver, the taxi driver says, "Where are you fellas from?" I might have said Montreal. And he said, "Oh, yeah, I heard we got a goalie from there. I hear he's pretty good." And Patrick Waugh says, "Yeah, he is really good." So Patrick goes out there. I can't remember if he played there, but then he flew back to Ottawa for his next game, or maybe it was his first game, and I flew back. So I was flying back and forth. So December 2nd is an important day in our family. And essentially, since Waugh was traded, I mean, the Canadians haven't won a Stanley Cup and haven't gotten closer than a conference final. Waugh's nickname was not St. Patrick. That's a media concoction. His nickname was Casso, because that's a container, and because early on in his career, he used to eat a lot of French fries. He had a terrible dietary habit, so I call this the curse of Casso. And what the Canadians did on Saturday night was essentially lift the curse of Casso.
But they didn't win 11-1. If you're going to allow, as incredibly close as it came to matching the score to the date, it wasn't the score, Michael. Now you're going to, going to allow that, then you're going to, well, the next time, you know, and then 9-1 is kind of acceptable, and then suddenly 9, you're on the slippery slope here.
Well, I tell you what, everyone who's eating chicken wings today because of Paul Byron.
They're remember, still eating the chicken wings.
He is the wind beneath those wings, let me tell you. No, it was a terrific performance. I mean, everybody but Max Pacioretty got a cookie. Everybody gets on the score sheet. The fourth line, my goodness, Jacob Delarose, who on most nights can't put the puck in the ocean, and choose whatever ocean you want, Pacific, Indian, doesn't matter. It's not large enough. He scores. Delorier scores. Byron gets the hat trick. Galchenyuk's name is scribbled all over it. It was a perfect night. Price gives up a late meaningless goal, 8-0, just like the last goal he gave up the night before, the start before. So we look at Price's save percentage and say, wow, that's really good. It could be even better if those two meaningless goals don't go in. I mean, he has been the fulcrum on which this team functions, and he's been back. They've played great. The defense has played terrific with Weber last game and without Weber before that. It's been a remarkable turnaround.
All right, so we're going to talk some more about that, but we haven't touched on a couple of items. We touched on Eli Manning with Eric at home and a couple of times, but we haven't touched on Tiger yet.
I'm excited the way this this week has gone on. You know, with the not only the competitive rounds, but also you know all the duties at night. You know, all the functions and still got my training in. It was a very good week.
In the grand scheme of things, Michael, it's a meaningless exhibition in the Bahamas, but certainly not for Tiger Woods.
Well, and it's not for us either. And I think it's more about us than it is about Tiger Woods, because we have a Tiger Woods addiction. We are hooked on the guy, as he was hooked on opioids 6 months ago. Remember this? Traffic stop under the influence, painkillers, opioids. We are hooked on him. That no matter who came along, and Rory McIlroy had a wonderful game, an explosive game that had touches of Tiger Woods in it. Jordan Spieth, a different kind of player, a likable player. Justin Thomas last year, Dustin Johnson hitting the ball a mile. We still needed our Tiger Woods fix. We wondered when he would be back, how he would play when he came back. And this was a sneak preview of something. What, we don't know. He didn't chip very well, but that's not surprising. That there was rust there, but he drove the ball as well as he ever has. And Tiger Woods was never a great straight driver of the golf ball. He could hit a long way, but he put a lot of his drives in the fairway. He was pain-free. He showed he could compete at this fun fair. As you point out, a meaningless exhibition, even though there was $3 million plus in prize money for these 18 golfers. So it was a really encouraging week. He got through four rounds. He didn't get hurt. He had a spring in his step and a smile on his face. And that makes us feel good because we need Tiger Woods. We can't quit this guy.
I mean, how do you sharpen yourself competitively between now and then?
I'm sure the guys will have some denominations they want to play for. JT was already alluding to that as we're playing today.
That's enough.
So when we go home and... You know, they want to. I mean, these guys are awesome. They want to play almost every day. Want to come compete. They want to see me back out there, and it's really nice to have that type of camaraderie.
All right, the curse of what? What is the curse of again? Casso?
Casso.
Curse of Casso.
Patrick Waugh's nickname. Casso.
Casso. The curse of Casso. So what are you saying? Are you saying they're like a cup is in the near? Very near future? Is that what you're saying?
No, I don't think a cup is in the very near future.
Well, you said it's the end of the curse. It's the lifting of the curse.
That doesn't mean they're going to win a cup. It means they can win a cup. It doesn't mean they won't win a cup this year. Listen, there are two really good teams that I've seen this year in the NHL, and we're going to see one tomorrow night in St. Louis. And Tampa Bay's the other one. That doesn't mean that Montreal is going to lose to St. Louis. They're on a roll. They happen to benefit by beating Ottawa, which can't get out of its own way, and Detroit is on a miserable streak. The schedule has been favorable. You're getting these teams at the right time. St. Louis is a real good test, and we'll learn a little bit more, but certainly they're on the right track.
So what you're saying is that since December 2nd, 1995, no matter what they looked like at any given time, it was impossible for them to win the cup, but now it's possible again.
I'm being facetious, obviously.
No, Michael, don't say that. Come on. You don't have to qualify it with that.
No.
Jablonski is coming out. They'll get the cheer. 9-1. We've barely played over half a hockey game. And this doesn't happen to that guy very often, I'm going to tell you, over his career.
And that was it. And now we can move forward again. Have a great time in Kelowna.
Hey, thanks. Talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.